Hello again. This is Carol Bond, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 8, 2016. We'll begin this portion of our broadcast with a reading of the obituaries. Annabelle Barr, 96, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, March 5, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Funeral service will be 3 p.m. Thursday, March 10th, in Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 1 hour before service in the funeral home. Burial will be at a later date in Camp Butler National Cemetery. The family of Annabelle Barr is being served by Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home and Cremation Center, honored provider of veterans' funeral care. Ross W. Densmore, 68, of Decatur, passed away at 8:20 p.m. on Sunday, March 6th, at home with his family by his side. A service to celebrate Ross's life will be held at 6 p.m. on Thursday, March 10th, at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 4 to 6 p.m. on Thursday. Ross was born on January 11, 1948. Brandon Lee Hopkins, 21, of Decatur, died Wednesday, March 2nd, at St. Mary's Hospital. Visitation will be 5 to 9 p.m. Friday, March 11th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home. Memorials may be made to the family. Esther May Huddleston, 98, of Warrensburg, passed away Sunday, March 6th, in Fairhaven's Christian Home. Esther was born in 1918. Services to celebrate Esther's life will be 11 a.m. Thursday, March 10th, at the Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home. Visitation will be for 1 hour prior to the services. Burial will be in Illini Cemetery in Warrensburg. Memorials in Esther's honor are suggested to the National Parkinson Foundation or the Warrensburg United Methodist Church. Bruce Schmid, 55, of Decatur, passed away on Tuesday, March 2nd, at his home. A service to celebrate Bruce's life will be held at 5 p.m. on Saturday, March 12th, at Dawson and Wyckoff West Wood Street Funeral Home. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 2 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. At the family's request, in lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Bruce Schmid Memorial Fund at CEFCU in Decatur, Illinois. Mrs. Mildred Marie Millie Ox Schmid of St. Marie, Illinois, passed away at 6:16 p.m. Saturday, March 5th, at her home. Mass of Christian burial will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 9th, at St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in St. Marie, Illinois, with Frere Robert Spriggs celebrating Mass. Burial will be in the St. Mary's Cemetery in St. Marie, Illinois. Visitation will be held 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, March 8th, that's today, at the church and 1 hour prior to Mass. In loving memory of Millie, memorials may be made to the St. Marie Monday Night Dance, Jasper County Senior Citizen Center, or St. Anthony's Hospice. Arrangements are under the care of the Meyer Funeral Home in Newton, Illinois. Lee Roy Winnings, 75, of rural Bethany, passed away on Sunday, March 6th, in his residence. Leroy's family is continuing with his wishes for cremation and no funeral services, no formal services, until they have military rites conducted at the family residence in June. The family is requesting anyone interested in attending to contact the family. We turn once again to our advice columnists. This is Mary Hunt writing for the Herald and Review. Nothing down can mean big trouble. The signs are everywhere. Same as cash. Nothing down, no interest. No payments until next summer. Or a very popular one these days, 0% interest on balance transfers until 2017. Maybe you've fallen for these promises in the past or are tempted to fall for them now. Retailers and banks are so anxious to increase their bottom line that deals are everywhere. The only way it might be smart to take advantage of no-interest financing or a no-payment period is if you are 100% certain that you'll be able to pay off the purchase or credit card balance in full before the period ends. Otherwise, you might as well stuff pennies in your nostrils now because you'll end up paying through the nose. Tell me something. What is 100% certain in life? Come on, dig deep. You know the answer. Nothing. That's right, nothing. You have no idea what will happen between now, when you fall for the unbelievable deal, and 6 months or a year from now, when that gigantic balance is due. If you are unable to come up with the cash before the deadline, the company will be more than happy to convert your balance into payments under the terms buried in the paperwork that you will have to sign to close the deal. Financing options offered through retail stores vary, but you may be required to sign up for a store credit card in order to have access to those options. You may not receive a monthly statement for that month, which can foster forgetfulness in even the most careful consumer. Beware that interest rates on store credit cards tend to be a lot higher than national cards. An entertainment center may not seem so entertaining after 29.99% interest is tacked on. And if that's not enough, financing a purchase like this, adding a new account with a big balance equal to the credit limit, could hurt your credit rating. Remember that the interest and payments in no-interest deals are only deferred, not waived. If you don't adhere to the terms of the deal, you'll lose your deferment and the deal will immediately convert to terms that are not in your favor, retroactively from the day you walked out with your fancy new fill-in-the-blank. So, how can stores afford to make these outrageous deals that appear to be so favorable to the consumer? Well, only those with excellent credit scores qualify for these deals. And even then, statistics show that more than 75% of consumers are unable to pay off the full balance before it converts into very large monthly payments because, well, stuff happens. Newsflash, retailers and lenders aren't in business to make your life less costly. They don't care about you. Their only goal is to make money. That's not a bad thing, but something you need to keep in mind. So ask yourself this question when you're tempted to fall prey to free financing. If I can't pay for it now, how will I pay for it in 6 months or 1 year? If you're certain you'll be able to save enough money every month to pay off the balance, Do yourself a favor and start saving now. Take cash to the store, and you won't have to fiddle with annoying credit card applications and complicated paperwork. Dr. Roach shares a bit of advice with us about drooling. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 85-year-old man in reasonably good health with a problem of excess saliva and drooling. My neighbor has the same problem, and his doctor prescribed prednisone. Could this cure my problem? I hesitate to take a medicine that helps only when using it. Can prednisone be damaging to my overall health? Here's Dr. Roach's reply. Drooling is a common problem in the elderly and in children and adults of any age with neurological or neuromuscular disorders. It may have many causes, but can be divided into two general categories: excess saliva and inability to control the saliva properly. Drooling can lead to local complications, especially infection, but also dehydration. Also, the psychological effects and changes in social interactions can be enormous. Excess saliva can be a side effect of medications, such as tranquilizers, epilepsy drugs, and anticholinesterases, often used in treatment of early dementia, such as Aricept. Some diseases also cause excess saliva, especially Parkinson's disease and some strokes. Inability to control saliva can be caused by weakness in the mouth muscles, such as after a stroke or with Bell's palsy. People who have chronic nasal congestion also may develop drooling. People with swallowing disorders from any cause may have drooling. Because of the multiple potential causes and potential for significant problems, drooling should be carefully evaluated. This may require multiple providers with different expertise, including the primary care doctor, a dentist, ENT doctor, speech and swallowing expert, and neurologist. The treatment depends on the underlying cause, but it can include medicines to reduce saliva production, physical, speech, and occupational therapy, and surgery. Injection of botulinum toxin into the salivary glands or surgery to remove salivary glands should not be considered for initial therapy, as the other treatments often are successful in helping, even if not curing, the problem. I imagine your neighbor has some medical problem that is treated with prednisone, but I can't think of one offhand that is associated with drooling. Prednisone, due to its long list of serious side effects, is reserved for serious issues for which there is no better treatment. Today's Decatur Herald Review editorial has this headline: Airline Seat Size Needs Regulation. There is no longer anything luxurious or restful about airline travel. In fact, it's a little bit like being herded like cattle, although we're not sure the cows don't get better treatment. There are a lot of reasons, including the deregulation of airlines in the late 70s. While that has, in some ways, made airline travel more accessible, it's also made the experience more stressful and more crowded. The average distance between rows of seats has been knocked down from about 35 inches to 31 inches, and the width of the airline seats has shrunk from 18 inches to 16.5 inches. There are plans to shrink the seat space even more, and there is even a proposal, likely not to be adopted, that would create standing seats for shorter domestic flights. Normally, we would advocate letting the free market sort this out. In a free market, customers vote with their money. But airline travel is a case where the free market doesn't work. Because of federal regulations and landing privileges at airports, the airline industry isn't regulated, but it's also not openly competitive. A new airline offering nice wide seats would have difficulty finding space to land at major airports. That limits consumer choice. The smaller seats may also pose a safety issue, both in case of an accident and whether the more crowded seating area would make some people prone to venous thrombosis. That's a condition that causes blood clots, which in extremely rare cases causes serious, even fatal embolism in the lungs. Studies on both issues are inconclusive. Safety studies, which use simulated accidents, seem to indicate that smaller seats don't impair evacuation from airplanes in the event of a crash. But researchers admit that it's hard to emulate the stress of a crash, so the studies seem inconclusive. There have been few studies on the effect of similar seats and thrombosis, but doctors recommend getting up and walking around to prevent the condition. That may be more difficult with smaller seats and tighter aisles. U.S. Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, proposed legislation that would mandate a minimum seat size for airlines. That effort was shot down by Congress a few weeks ago, although it's possible the idea will resurface. There is a case here for at least more study. The Federal Aviation Administration should study further the effect of smaller seats in crashes, and airlines should make sure they are reminding passengers to get out of their seats and moving around. Congress may want to go one step further and mandate a minimum seat size. We trust in the free market, but the airline industry is such that the free market isn't allowed to operate unbridled. In those cases, government regulations may be necessary. We'll turn now to the Decatur Tribune online and find out what Paul Osborne is writing about today. In his News to Know featured article, he has this headline: City Council vote allows Northeast Community Fund expansion in Wabash Crossing. A rising social services campus in the Wabash Crossing area continued to take shape Monday with Decatur City Council approval of a land sale agreement between the city and a longstanding community partner. Council members voted 6-0 during its regular meeting to sell just more than 3 acres of city-owned land to Northeast Community Fund, with plans for Northeast to build a new $20,000 square foot facility along Martin Luther King Drive at Central Avenue. This is mostly a repetition of what we've already read in the Decatur Herald and Review, so we'll stop there. But here's what Paul Osborne is saying in his City Beat column. Citizen wants review of downtown handicapped parking. Betty Wheatley dropped a letter by our newspaper office last week that she had mailed to the City of Decatur offices on January 30th. Since she hadn't received a reply in a month, Betty wanted to make her appeal for a review of downtown handicapped parking known to our readers. She wrote, "Perhaps the downtown handicapped parking spaces need to be reviewed, as there have been many changes in our downtown businesses." 1. There are no handicapped spots in the whole block of Merchant Street, but a number of great businesses for food. There should be one handicapped spot in the middle of the block on the east side of that street. 2. The first parking space on the south side of William at North Main Street should be handicaps, so they don't have to cross a very busy street to get to any business in that whole block between William and Prairie. There are a number of great restaurants in that block. Trying to hurry across Route 55 from the parking lot on the east side of the street is not easy sometimes. 3. There is one handicapped parking spot in the parking lot off of East Main Street, just south of Route 51. South Main corner, but it is about 4 spaces into the parking lot. Why isn't the first space the handicapped spot? That is the spot which needs to be more accessible. And the letter concludes this way. Thank you for a review of this matter, she concluded in her letter to the city. Much of the news today is in the football news from Champaign, and J. Thomas McNamara writes this column in the Decatur Tribune online under Mac on Sports. Lovie Smith, new Illini grid coach. As expected, Lovie Smith is the new football head coach at Illinois and was introduced at 2 p.m. On Monday, Athletic Director Josh Whitman announced. Whitman and Warren Hood flew to Tampa Sunday to meet with Smith, where the deal apparently was reached. I am extremely excited to be named head coach of the Fighting Illini, Smith said. Josh approached me about this possibility, and I immediately seized on the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of the young men who are part of the program today and in the future. I take this responsibility very seriously and can't wait to get a staff in place to start our move to make Illinois a contender for Big Ten titles. We will play an exciting brand of football that will make our fans, alumni, student body, and members of the university community extremely proud. Smith becomes the 25th head football coach at Illinois. He is the second coach to move directly from head coach in the NFL to Champaign-Urbana after John Makovic took the Illini head coaching position in 1988 following a career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Naming Lovie Smith as the Illinois head football coach is the first step in taking this program to a place of national prominence, Whitman said. We will build a program that contends annually for Big Ten and national championships. The timing for this move was extremely tight, and we needed to move quickly. A coach of Lovie's caliber would not have been available to us if we had waited until after the 2016 season. Lovie's reputation as a coach, and even more so as a person, made it clear it was an awesome opportunity for the University of Illinois. Interim Chancellor Barbara Wilson added her support to the hire. Quote, just as he promised, Josh Whitman is taking bold and decisive action to ensure that Illinois athletics represents the same level of excellence as Illinois academics, Wilson said. Coach Smith shares our vision for success at the highest level, and I'm delighted to welcome him to the Illinois family. Smith returns to college football for the first time since 1996, after spending 19 years in the NFL, including 11 years as a head coach. He led the Chicago Bears for 9 seasons from 2004 to 2012, including 3 division titles, 2 NFC championship game appearances, and a berth in Super Bowl 41. He was AP Coach of the Year in 2005, and he spent the past 2 years as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Smith spent his first 14 years as a collegiate coach, working at Tulsa, Wisconsin, Arizona State, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio State. Smith and his wife, Marianne, are the proud parents of three children, Michael, Matthew, and Miles. A native of Big Sandy, Texas, Smith led the Big Sandy Wildcats to three consecutive state championships in high school and was All-State as a defensive end and linebacker, and three-time All-Missouri Conference selection. I will have more on this developing story, and that's by the editor of this article, in a future print edition of the Decatur Tribune. It is a great hire by Whitman. Returning now to the Decatur Herald and Review, we have time to read a couple of letters to the editor. This one was written by Eldon Kahn, who is principal, Debbie Roberts, instructional coach at South Shores Elementary School. We would like to thank the following people who graciously came to share stories for Read Across America at South Shores: Joe Wrigley, Jim Levesey of Stifel's Nicholas, John Shirley of Decatur Public Library, Valerie Wells of the Herald and Review, Alita Graham, Renee Sanchez, Father Joe Malloy, Karen Woods, and Holly Hauser from Decatur Public Library, and there are a couple of more. They did a wonderful job reading to our students and bringing the community to our halls. Others thanked are Suzanne Krebs of Decatur Educational Association, John Pierce, David Horn of the City of Decatur, Michael Damery, and Ed Moyer of Decatur Public Schools. That's the end of that. Another writer has this: how many times have you heard, throw all the career politicians out and start new? Now is our chance to throw the most important one out and get a businessman as president. The establishment is afraid of him because he cannot be bought, bribed, or manipulated. That threatens everyone's nice, cushy job. And while we are at it, term limits for everyone on federal and state levels. No politician should be in power for 20 to 30 years. Think hard before you vote. And this letter was written by Gertrude Caton of Decatur. This has been Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 8, 2016. And we also read today from the Decatur Tribune online. It's been nice reading with you, and I look forward to reading with you next week.